chapter 2. The book of Philippians, chapter 2. This thing is working? So I could take this one off? All right, very good. The pipes aren't. And the bathrooms. And, well, more things to pray for. All right, Philippians chapter 2. If there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit. I even forgot my regular Bible. This isn't my regular. Any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Hop on down to chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 29. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete that what was lacking in your service to me. Then chapter 3, verse 17. Brothers, join in imitating me. Keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is their destruction. Their God is their belly. They glory in their shame with mind set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Now go back to chapter 2, verse 9. God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The Lord bless the reading of his word, and we will be looking at more things in this passage, and we will do more reading as we go. So we've been studying the book of Philippians, and in Philippians, I think the last time that I spoke up here, we talked about the importance of having that mind of Christ and really only being able to know that mind and understand how Christ is thinking and understanding the content of the gospel if you read your Bible. It was a very simple message, right? We've said it over and over again. Read your Bible. That's how you can understand what is contained in it so that you can have a unified spirit. And today, we're going to also go through the lesson. It's a very simple lesson, but also very hard, to live like Christ by copying him. What? That's always hard, right? So you hear, we have the example here that Paul actually says. He says in verse 4, let each of you look not only to his own interests, that's chapter 2, verse 4, but also to the interests of others. He says then in verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. That sounds very, very hard. And when you have an encouragement to live like Christ, it's right there in the Bible. Live like Christ. If you're a Christian, if you trusted on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the call is to live like Him. But you know what? It's not only a call for people who have trusted on Him. It's actually a call for the whole world. It's a call to the whole world. Do you want to love others? Do you want to be able to help others? Do you want to actually have a world that is actually properly united? Well, you can't just do it by coming up with new rules and regulations to do it. Have you ever tried to force people to like each other? Have you ever tried that? There was a trend that came out a few years ago, and I wanted to try it with my kids, but my kids always said, don't do that. And it was this mega t-shirt. And if they were fighting, you would put them in this big mega t-shirt with each other, and you tell them to get along. If you do that, though, you know what happens with the getting along? Nothing. Nothing happens. In fact, they get worse. They're fighting within the t-shirt. They fight within the t-shirt. Rules and regulations aren't going to help you live like Christ and copy Him. So even though the Bible calls the whole world to be like Him, you're not going to be able to do it. You're not going to be able to do it because you have to have the mind of Christ. This is where verse 5 says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So Christians, you have this mind. But then you go, hold up. Christians don't act like that. We have a bunch of Christians who you could look across streets and you have Christians that are like this with each other. You might even look in the same room with Christians, and you might even have a church of the same Christians that have been together for years and they go like this with each other. How do you have a life like Christ? You have His mind, but how do you live it out? How do you do it? And I'm going to give you a very simple phrase, just like how I did with the other lesson about reading your Bible. This lesson is, become a copycat. Become a copycat. Now, that's an old term. Back in the day when there was little kids playing, and I remember little kids playing, and you wanted to bother somebody, you acted like them. So if somebody talks with their hands a lot, another kid starts copying him and talking with his hands. And the other kids say, look at him, he's being a copycat. And it's really annoying. But what you're doing is looking at the details. The kid is looking at the details of how this person acts, and they're acting just like him. They're acting just like him. I told you, I might have said this, I repeat stories at this point too. So I might have said this, but I remember some years ago, Fiona, she is my 8-year-old now. Is that how old she is? 8? Yeah, I think she's 8. Yeah, I think she's 8. That's wild, right? So she's 8. And I remember when she was 4 or something, Elena took an eyeliner makeup thing, and she gave her like fake facial hair, and she put on my shoes, and she walked into the room with this beard, and she goes, I daddy, and she was walking around. And it was a really good job with the beard because it was scraggly and it wasn't really coming in like sort of my hair. So I was like, oh, she did a good job. So she was copying daddy. And Paul wants us to copy Christ. He gives us a really lofty example. And the thing is, the problem is when we read this example, it's so high that we go, I can't do that. That's a problem. But let's listen to the example. Look at chapter 2. Verse 5, he says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And this is the mind of Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. So some of your Bibles might say something, who being in the form of God didn't count equality with God, robbery or something like that. The point of what it's saying is that Jesus Christ truly is and was God. This is John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus Christ truly was God. It's saying that he didn't think of equality with God, the attribute of being equal with God. So if you have God the Father and you have Christ, he didn't see that equality as something he had to reach for. Why didn't he have to reach for it? Because he already had it. It wasn't something he had to go for. Paul is saying Christ was equal with God. And it's not that you had two gods. You had one God who's made up of three persons. Now, that's very confusing, but don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't think about it right now. Think about it that Christ is equal with God the Father. It was something that he had. He had that full attribute. He can know all things. He could control all things. He upholds all things with his powerful word. He created all things. Those are things that only belong to God. Right? So that's what he's saying. He's like, here's Christ. He had all that. But go on to the next verse. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. You know what it's saying? He was equal with God. He had everything that God had, infinite power, but he became nothing. It doesn't say he lost his power. That's not in any Bible. That's not even a teaching from the historical church. It doesn't say that he stopped being God. That's not part of historical Christian teaching. What it says is that he became nothing. He emptied himself. So could you do that? Think about yourself in your own situation. Think about your own life. Think about the things you know. Think about the things you've learned over time. I mean, you can take anything. I learned how to do things with a computer, how to fix computers. Tom knows how to do this too. But like take computers apart, put them together. Wonderful thing, right? But oh, if somebody comes up to me and starts telling me how to take apart my computer, I feel the pride come in. You know who you're talking to? What?
You talking to me?
I've done this a minute. I've done this quite a few times. You talking to me? And we all do that, don't we? Like, I mean, I'm sure no one in here does this, but imagine you're in the kitchen, or imagine you're in the kitchen cooking up the stew just how you make it, and someone else comes into the kitchen and go, did you put enough salt in that? And you're like, wait, what? Who are you in my kitchen? So that's us, right? But here's Christ. Here's Christ equal with God the Father. He becomes nothing and he lowers himself down to be a servant. That is amazing. That's Christ coming down. Think about this. God, the one who made all things, the God who made the trees that grow and the rocks out of the ground, and who made the very breath that we breathe and the water and the made the grapes that become wine. That God came on this earth and was handled by people who would reject him, force him to drink vinegar, try and take the rocks and metal and pin him to a tree and put him on the cross, the very trees that he made. Would you be able to do that? No, right? If you had even close to infinite power, you would be tearing things up. But Christ looked at this and he was like, I'm not here about myself. I'm nothing. And he became a servant. He truly became one of us, died on that cross, that level of obedience. So Paul gives us that example. He gives us that example. You want to live like a Christian and you have the mind of Christ? Live like that. Think of yourself as nothing. Look how he says it in verse 4. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interests of others. Think of others as more important. Think about the concerns of other people. Christ thought about the concerns of us before his own concerns, and he went to the cross. And Paul is saying, live like that. But like I said, when we hear the words, live like Christ, we go, oh, that's kind of hard. Can you give me something else? Maybe lower the volume a little. I mean, he, after all, is God. He's sinlessly perfect, right? He could do it. I couldn't. Well, then Paul, he makes it easier. He says, verse 17 of chapter 3. Brethren, join in imitating me. And keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. So what Paul says is like, all right, I want you to be a copy of Christ, copycat of Christ. And I'm going to help you out so that you're not just thinking about, oh, no, Christ is so much greater. I'm going to give you a really common guy, Paul. Look at me. Copy me, he says. And you look at Paul and he says, well, how does Paul live? Well, look, go back to chapter 2. In verse 17, he says, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. That's chapter 2, verse 17. So what is Paul saying? If you want to copy Paul, look at how Paul lives. His life is about sacrificing himself for others. Look at chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 12. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. So it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. So Paul sees his own situation as being a benefit for the gospel, that it goes out. And then he goes on further on, he says, in chapter 1, verse 21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. So what does Paul's life look like when he's living like Christ? It's a life that sacrifices himself for the benefit of others in service to Christ. So Paul is actually in prison, and he says he was in prison for the gospel of Christ. So he gave up his life so that others could hear about Jesus, and so that the church could be strengthened in Jesus. That was his life. That was a big example. And something for us that Paul puts down about himself. And you look at Paul and you go, well, come on. Give me a break. Paul? You mean the guy who wrote most of the New Testament? I'm supposed to copy him like how he copies Christ? That's really hard. Don't give me that job. Well, what does Paul do? Very helpfully, he doesn't only give himself as an example of how to copycat Christ. He gives himself, sure, copycat me. But look at that chapter 3, verse 17 again. He says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. So what is Paul saying? Copycat me. I'm in prison. I did this for serving Christ and for your benefit, but copycat people who copycat me. I'm copying Christ, and here's these other people, there's other people that act like me in copying Christ. Now, I used an example a little while ago of my daughter having the little beard and the boots and going, "Hi, Daddy," right? Now, there is a form of copying where you try to do every single thing that the other person does. But people could tell who you're trying to copy. So like my daughter, when she had that facial hair in my boots, it was clear. Oh, she's copying Ray. That's clear. But by so doing, Fiona kind of disappeared. Now, she was there, and it was funny. It was Fiona doing it. But it was clearly, I'm looking at her, she's trying to do me. And this can happen in real life, too. There are people who think, oh, to do something the right way, I need to do it how this person does it. I need to be exactly like them. So they start copying the mannerisms, the way they dress, the way they look, the way they, the music they're listening to, all those things. That's one way of copying, but I'm going to suggest that maybe that's not the way that's more pertinent and more effective for you when Paul is talking about this and following the examples. He's not saying, hey, you know what? I went to prison. You should go to prison. I rejected my rights. So that way, then I appeal to my rights, and therefore you should do the same thing. He's not saying copy my example one to one. He uses his example of other examples. So here's an example. And I use this at the Wednesday night study, right? You might hear my sons when they speak. I even hear it this morning when my son reads a passage. It sounds like me. Like the voice sounds like me, right? That's genetics. He has the voice like me. So he's going to have a lot of the same genetics happening there, right? So if you hear him, on, especially if you're on Zoom, you go, oh, is that Ray? But it's him. It's Braden. And Josias also had the same thing. He's not trying to copy my voice. In fact, when you hear Braden talk about other things, he's not sounding like Ray in the topic he's talking about. He has his own passions and things like that, but he still sounds like me in his voice. There's another example of this sort of thing. Let's say Dad is an honest mechanic. You could always trust Dad. He ran a mechanic shop. He used to run a great business as this mechanic. He would run, and he had a most trustworthy business. He was a strong man. Very strong muscles and things like that. And he ran the business. My father did not run a mechanic business. I'm just using this as an example. People can then come into the shop and they know what this mechanic is like. Now, let's say Dad passes away and his son takes over the business. And his son is not a tall, big, muscular guy like his dad. Not at all. In fact, he's shorter. He's a little heavier in the stomach. But he has the same policies of honesty when he's working with his customers. So when people come into the store and they get a quote from him, they go, "You're just like your dad." So what Paul is looking at here is saying, hey, guess what? There's examples of following Christ. There's examples that look like me, but here's another example, one that looks not like Paul, but still like Paul. Look at chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 19. Chapter 2, verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. Everybody seeks their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ, but you know Timothy's proven worth. How, as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I will come myself. You know what Paul is saying? He goes, I got somebody who's like my son. He's just like me. But you guys who know your Bible know that Timothy's a very different sort of guy. Remember when Paul wrote to Timothy in the book of, in the letters to Timothy, he tells Timothy, hey, Timothy, stop saying no to wine with your water. Take a little wine with your water for your stomach. He tells Timothy, hey, do the work that you're supposed to do. Don't be nervous about being young and having people say something against you. He constantly had to encourage Timothy. Timothy needed that encouragement. He's been in tough situations. Do you think Paul needed that encouragement? Sure, but Paul, he usually handled it. When he was speaking, he was there sitting in the book of Galatians, he mentions this. He was sitting and having a meal, and he saw that Peter, the guy who hung out with Jesus, one of the lead apostles, lead disciples, he saw him having a meal with only Jewish people and refusing to have a meal with the Gentiles. And Paul got up and accused him to his face. Peter, you're being a hypocrite in front of everybody. Timothy doesn't strike me as that guy in the character. Timothy is different. But you know what the same mindset they have? Timothy is genuinely, verse 20, concerned for your welfare. I'm concerned for your welfare. So is Timothy. Two different guys, and they're both acting like Christ in their own way. They're both acting exactly like Christ. Did Timothy die on the cross? No. Did Paul die on the cross? No, he was beheaded. Here you have these guys not going to the cross and yet bearing their own cross for the benefit of others. So what does Paul do? He's like, all right, so maybe you guys, you might be sitting there going, yeah, but you know what? Even Timothy is somebody pretty tough to copy. Timothy, this guy, Paul sent him into Ephesus by himself. This guy was amazing. He was a Christian. He learned the Bible since he was a little kid. And he was going around with Paul from the very earliest. I can't copy that. So what does Paul do? Paul goes, all right, no. I'm not just going to give you one example. I'm not just going to tell you copy Christ. I'm not just going to say copy me, Paul. I also give you Timothy. Here's another example. Verse 25. I have thought it also necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and fellow worker, and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. He has been longing for you all, and he has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. So what does Paul do? He gives another example. He keeps giving other examples of how to live like Christ. Here's Christ who lived like Christ. Here's Paul who lives like Christ for the benefit of others. Here's Timothy and here's Epaphroditus. And what's so unique about Epaphroditus and how he lived for Christ? Well, Paul says that he is someone who was a fellow soldier and fellow worker. So Paul is a tough character. And he has Epaphroditus on his side, helping with the work. He calls him a fellow soldier. That is tough work. He's fighting in the battle. And he's a minister, so that means he was actually serving Paul. And he's their minister. He's from the Church of Philippi, and he was coming over and helping Paul with whatever Paul needed. So that's pretty interesting how he was serving his life. But how was he almost ready to give up his life for the benefit of others? Paul puts down, he got a cold. Well, maybe he didn't get a cold. Maybe it was pneumonia. Maybe it was something else. But he got sick. He got sick. Yeah, and it says here, look at verse 27. Indeed, he was ill, and he almost died from his sickness. Here is a man who stands out in the Bible and people remember him as the guy who got sick and almost died, but was more concerned that people found out that he was sick and was going to die. He was more concerned that they were sad and scared for him about this. Now, he was serving the Lord, but he was so concerned for others that he was concerned that they were sad about his own situation. Epaphroditus got sick, and he was able to copy Christ in that situation. Here is a man, I want you to get that in your head, who merely got sick in a world before antibiotics and flu medicine, and was able to copy Christ in his situation. And Paul puts down this example, follow people like that. Honor people like that. Look at people like that and copy them. That's very important. That means that in your life and in your situation, you can act like yourself while copying Christ. Let me tell you, all of you are different from each other. All of you have different ages and different life situations, and you've been through different things. Some of you have lost spouses. Some of you have experienced death in your families. Some of you have lost children. Some of you have lost parents. Some of you have lost jobs, and some of you have created businesses. You're all in different life situations. Some of you have worked in corporations. Some of you have worked for yourselves. Some of you are students in school. Some of you have been rejected in sports teams. Some of you have been accepted in sports teams. But in those different situations, the call is to live like Christ and become an example of him in service to others. So Paul lists these examples in the Bible, in these very common situations, so that you could see that living like Christ doesn't necessarily mean that when you live like Christ, that you're going to go to the cross. Well, you do take up your cross day to day, but your situation is not exactly like Christ. You're not God. But you are to have that same mindset. And you're to copy his situation so far that you're living a life that when people look at you, they're like, that's an example of living like Christ in that situation. Now, this is important because when I listed all of those differences in situations, it's important because everybody's situation is very unique. Did you think Paul didn't know that? He had a diverse group of people that he worked with. He had a Timothy who was raised from a very young age, knowing the scripture. He had a Titus who was a Greek. He had a Luke who was a Greek who was also a doctor. He had different people in his situation, and he saw different ways, different lives that were still living like Christ in their situation. So he uses this example for us in our learning so that you know to live like Christ and copy Christ, you have to look for what the mindset is, sacrificing self for the benefit of others, and then seeing how it applies in your situation. So look at this. Look at chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. If I were to tell you, hey, just copy Christ and copy people like him, and I didn't have that fact in there, you would be wallowing in depression, discovering that you can't do it. You can't do it on your own. And what does Paul say? You're not doing it on your own. You're not. You have that same God in Christ is in you, and he's working in you. If you're a believer, he's working in you both to will, that means to want to do this, and to work for his good pleasure. So when you're in your situation, in your life situation, let's say like Epaphroditus, and you have a cold, and you have a way to figure out, how can I use my life situation for the benefit of others? That's Christ working in you. Some of you have been through tremendous loss. And when you hear the situation of another who might have had a similar loss, and you're thinking of a way how to serve that person, that's Christ working out in you. And some of you have not even considered your own life. Maybe some of us have looked at our own life and said, woe is me. I can't believe that I've been through the situations I've been in. I can't believe this. I'm so sad. This is such a horrible situation. Or maybe God allowed you to go through the situation you're in so that you have this almost unique situation that someone else might go through, and God wants you to work with that situation in their life for the benefit of others. It is God who both wills and works. If God can know the end from the beginning and control all things and hold all things with his powerful word, do you think that maybe he knows enough about your life situation that he can go, I can use that? You think so? I think so. But here's the clincher, though. Verse 14. So do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. You get this, that Paul, who's the example, he turns around at the Philippians and he says, hey, take your life situation, do it without grumbling, doing it without complaining, serve the Lord in your situation so that I, the one I told you to emulate, I can be proud of your situation. And isn't that something? To think that one day God himself will give you crowns and looking at you and go, ah, you acted like my child. You acted like you were part of my family. What a wonderful thing. And he gives that out. That's amazing. God is looking to do that. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So I hope this thing is helpful for your learning, that Paul gives these examples to live like Christ, to copy these examples, not so much as copying the exact situation, but copying their mindset that can apply in any situation. And therefore, look at your own life and to see how you can use your situation to live like Christ for the benefit of others without complaining, without grumbling. Look for it. Look for it. So let's close in prayer. Blessed Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that these things are recorded here for our learning. We thank you that you worked in the situation of Paul's life, and in the situation of Timothy's life and in Epaphroditus' life, so that we could see what it is to emulate Christ and have that mind of Christ, and that we can learn and see that we can find different ways to apply this in our own life situation and uniquely be followers of your servants who follow Christ. We pray that you do show us these situations and show us our own opportunities in which we can serve others and think more highly of others than ourselves. Show us those situations. Help us to reflect on our life situation, that we can take these things and offer them to you. Just as Paul offered up his life as a drink offering, we can offer up our own life as a wonderful offering, a sweet-smelling aroma to you. Now, as we go home each our separate ways, we pray and ask that you protect us and watch over us and remind us of these things in our day-to-day, so that we can even use even the common sniffles in the benefit of other believers in service to our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.